Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. Nice to see you again, Eric.
We're back from Thanksgiving break.
How was your holiday?
It was great. Hosted for the first time. Mom came over, or came into town, I should say. Turkey, little mishap there.
What happened?
Oven turned off at some point during the cooking process.
Right.
So it was a little undercooked at first. Had to go back in. It was only a 9-pound turkey because there were only three of us.
Did you eat it?
No.
It was undercooked.
Well, we sliced into it, okay. And my mom was like, that's not the right color. And I was like, I don't think so. So it went back into the oven. We did a round of sides first, and then we had the turkey for, you know, leftovers / dinner later.
Nice.
I understand you did not leave the house much during your time.
Aaron literally dragged me out of the apartment Sunday afternoon, and that was like after Wednesday, like, right. So from Wednesday to then, yeah, I did not leave the house.
And what did you do for Thanksgiving proper? You guys do a catering situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had food made, picked it up, and we, it's so sad, but I swear I love it.
It's not sad.
It's just Aaron and me.
And the dog and the
right.
cats.
I just think that when we moved to New York 8 years ago, we were sort of like, oh, we're going home for the Christmas. Like, what's the point? So we just started doing it on our own.
Yeah.
And so we kind of kept doing it. But I swear every time I tell people, they get this look in their eye that's like, that's so sad.
It is the New York City way, you know, for some people. That's like how you do it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I don't really get Thanksgiving. Like, you don't get gifts. I don't eat turkey.
That's true.
What's the point?
I mean, I have to say, even if it was just me and my mom and Danny, like, it was a lot of work, and I can't imagine hosting more than that and having to worry about a bigger turkey, more food. Like, it's a lot. So for everyone out there who hosts and does it well, props to you. What are we talking about today?
Okay, we have Real Housewives of Orange County because they're now in Key West.
Right.
Real Housewives of Dallas, they're still in Thailand. And then we have Real Housewives of Atlanta.
They're having a Bailey Q. Plus, we have interviews with Ashton Pinar from Below Deck and my girl Quad Webb from Married to Medicine.
And then we'll wrap it all up with Rose and Thorn. And just a reminder for you, Project Runway premieres tonight at 9:30, 8:30 Central.
You guys will see a lot of brand new faces because we have a whole slew of new designers. But don't worry, there are some familiar faces as well. We have Brandon Maxwell, Elaine Welteroth, Nina Garcia back as judges, Christian Siriano there as mentor, and Carly Kloss as the host and judge.
And you can catch up on Project Runway after show at bravotv.com directly after the episode ends. All right, Orange County. Do people vacation much in Key West? Is that's a thing?
I guess so. I mean, I knew someone who lived there for a very long time, and she was like a bartender down there and just like really wanted the beach lifestyle. So she worked there, and there is like a big tourist industry there. And you could totally tell by the guy who was like running that like bar boat that they were on. He just had like long blonde hair. He was just like tan. Like, he was just like such a Key West guy.
Oh, you mean the squeaky tiki?
Yes, the squeaky tiki. I mean, that looks like so much fun.
I mean, I, first of all, love a tiki bar.
Yeah.
But I do feel like a proper tiki bar has tropical drinks, and they had a make your own vodka soda situation.
Oh yeah, it's usually more like a specialty cocktail.
Yeah, and it's like in a Buddha or something.
Right. Yeah, this one required a little bit more work on the guest's behalf.
Can I tell you something that really annoys me? People that are scared of water. And look, I get it's a real fear. I can't imagine having to travel with someone like Gina.
I was going
to
say,
literally,
you're talking about Gina.
Like, just is terrified anytime she's near water.
Well, also, it's not like she's from like the Midwest and has never seen the ocean before. Like, she was from Long Island, which is an island, and now she lives in Orange County, which is by the water. So it's a little bit like, girl, don't be afraid.
Get over it.
It's right there.
It's also like Kyle from Beverly Hills and The Flying.
Right.
It's just like, are we doing this every time, Kyle?
Yeah.
Like, you fly all the goddamn time.
It's
like,
literally
you have
your
to
job.
Get used to it now.
Right. No, it's very true. I mean, I will say they do get attacked by those like sea sponges or whatever. And like Bronwyn gets that like welt on her butt, and like jellyfish and that kind of stuff. Okay, that's legit. Like, you can be afraid of that. And we saw even in the preview clip for next week, there's like a shark fin, which, okay, at that point, that's not going to help Gina's fear at all, but that's legit. At that point, you can start to panic. But like, just going out on the boat, like, relax.
You don't even even need to panic. Just get out of the water.
Right.
It's fine.
Just keep going. Stay on your jet ski. Avoid the shark fin.
Although, when Bronwyn got stung by the jellyfish or whatever, what was
sea
it?
Sponge, sea I think, sponge. They, or something, they said.
All I could think about was what a nice butt she has.
Mm-hmm.
I still am not over how good Bronwyn's body is for having as many kids as she does.
I mean, ties right back to her tagline. Looks like a 10.
Sure does.
And she really does. Okay, so we get them fighting in the beginning. There's still some issues here between like Tamara, Kelly, Shannon, the whole thing. But then we get this apology from Kelly to Tamara.
Yeah, you know, I honestly owe you a huge apology. Huge.
Yeah.
Because I just felt pushed.
But like, I kind of think Tamara's still a little bit full of shit with the whole thing.
In what way?
Because she is saying that she's defending Kelly and she's been doing nothing but defending Kelly, but she really hasn't been.
But what I think she was saying, when the whole pushing her mom down the stairs thing came up, she was saying to Shannon, there's been all this negative talk about Kelly. You guys are saying this and you're saying that. And that's mm-hmm. how it came up.
Yeah.
So I think she was in a way.
I think Kelly just at this point too wants to move on
yeah.
with it and keep the vacation going because it does keep falling into these like pitfalls of like them fighting all of a sudden. And it's like, I think Kelly's just like, let's go. Let's keep going on with the vacation.
Yeah.
So they get to the drag show a little bit later on in the night.
Yeah.
I think we need to teach the Real Housewives of Orange County some drag show etiquette.
Oh, why? Tell me.
Do you remember when we went a couple months back, I think at this point, we went out on a Friday. It was a summer Friday and we went to the gay club.
Yes.
It was like me, you and Crystal and a few of our coworkers, and a drag show kind of just started yeah. in the room that we were in. And we were like, okay, we're here. And I was like, okay, wait, I'm going to go get a bunch of cash so we can give the drag right. queens dollar bills. And I noticed that those women, they had the very front row next to the stage, and I did not see them throwing any dollar bills.
You know what, though? You are doing the Lord's work because that was my first proper drag show.
Right.
And so I was learning by watching you. Oh, you tip them.
Right. And so basically with drag queens, they pay for all of that stuff themselves. And
yeah.
they have full-time jobs and this is something that they do on the side or on the weekend. So all of the costumes, the makeup, the wigs, the whole thing
doesn't pay for itself.
Exactly. It comes out of them and their personal budget. So those dollar bills go a long way. I mean, it's sort of like any kind of service industry situation. So I was a little bit like, okay, well, they're not, you know, throwing dollar bills, whatever. Then Vicky goes on to sort of throw some weird shade about drag queens, like being like, I don't get it. What is that? Women dressing like men dressing like women. I'm not sure.
I don't understand it. Boys dress like girls and girls dress like boys. I don't get it. Sorry, drags.
What do you think about Vicky being in touch with this woman that allegedly has this injury from Kelly?
She's doing what I would do, which is you wait for someone with a lot of money to do the slightest thing to you, and then you take it to the bank.
Right. But why go through Vicky?
Is she trying to get on the show? Maybe.
Maybe.
To have one of those lunches where she tells Vicky, like, everything that's...
It seems like she does want to be anonymous, though, because the way they're all talking about it, they keep saying, like, the girl, the woman, you know, they reference that she slid into Vicky's DMs, and that's how they've been in touch, but they're not really, like, showing any screenshots or showing any images of the hand, allegedly, you know, so it seems like maybe she really is after this in a legit way, and that's why they're not allowed to name her or something.
I wonder.
Well, when they're all out, it comes out, you know, Shannon ends up telling Kelly, by the way, Vicky's in touch with this woman.
Yeah. Ooh.
They all get into it, and then, well, not all of them, it's Kelly and Vicky again get into it, start name calling, saying horrible things. Kelly's calling her a con artist. Vicky's calling her a slut. It gets really messy really quickly. It escalates fast. But then Vicky leaves and goes outside with Shannon and Tamara. And why isn't Vicky upset with Shannon for telling Kelly that?
That is a legitimate question.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it all seems like they're kind of taking things out on the wrong people. And it's just kind of going in circles and it keeps coming back to Kelly and Vicky.
Yeah.
She should also be upset, I think, with Tamara for being the one who repeated this rumor that Kelly pushed her mother down the stairs. Tamara was the one who said that again after Vicky said it after the tea party.
Yeah.
So I think maybe now watching it back, Vicky is seeing things a little bit differently than she was told. But it seems like she's getting upset with Kelly maybe for the wrong reasons.
Mm. Either way, really messed up that she's talking to that girl on Instagram.
Yeah. Well, and you know, karma is a funny thing. And it didn't take long for her to take a little slip and fall, as Vicky does.
I'm in a wheelchair. I need to get out. I'm on her phone sharing. I'm like, this is scary. Oh my God, this is so sad.
She probably hurt her hand, among other things.
Do you think she maybe exaggerates her clumsiness to a point where, like, she recognizes that, like, slapstick comedy plays very well for her? I do think that this particular slip in this episode is real.
It looked bad.
It looked very real. But even, like, in the last episode, when she got to her room and saw the flowers that Bronwyn had sent, she, like, went to open the champagne and it popped. And it seemed like she took, like, a couple extra steps to get her balance.
That's true.
And even in the, like, flashbacks that they show of her falling, like, I'm a little bit like, oh, I think she might lean into this.
She's also just dramatic AF about everything.
Right, right. That's true.
And in my head, I'm just playing a montage of all the times she screamed at the top of her lungs. You know what I mean? She's just a very dramatic
that
person.
That is difficult for me to listen to. What I think is so interesting about her and Tamra and even Shannon, and Kelly pointed it out, I think last week, is the high-pitched, mm-hmm. like, screams that they get. Like, there's no inflection once they start screaming. It is all at the same, like, octave. It's all the same consistency. And I'm just like, you know, I feel like that's a little crazy.
You know, we're going home. We're putting masks on. And we're putting our matching PJs on. 2 o'clock in the morning. My good grief.
I wonder if male ears are especially sensitive to it. Because Aaron, if he's in the apartment when I'm watching Bravo and there's a fighting and arguing scene, he's like, you have to turn it down. Like, I can't take it.
Oh my God.
Cause it's like, yeah, that shrillness gets to him.
Interesting. I don't
know.
Like, maybe.
What do you mean?
Right. It's like we have dog hearing and it's like, ah! Like a certain frequency just like doesn't register for men. I don't know. That's interesting. We should look into that. Guys, do some research for us and let us know if that's true. Any scientists out there?
What are ear doctors?
I don't know, just ear, nose, and throat. But what are they called? They're like...
Not an ophthalmologist. That's eyes.
That's
so what's
just
the
eyes.
Ears?
Or even if it's just like, maybe it could be like a vocal coach, like people who teach singing, they might know. Is my theater background coming out again?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It's the most eye roll inducing thing. Anytime someone says something about my theater background, I'm just like,
Speaking of theater backgrounds, I finally watched the Will Ferrell skit that you guys had watched last week.
Good.
And it was so good. I love Will Ferrell.
You guys have, okay, it's part of it's an NBC property,
that's
SNL.
True.
So this is on brand. You guys have to Google Will Ferrell theater teacher sketch. It's from when he was hosting last week. It is so good.
Yeah, and it was cut. So if
yeah,
you search
it's cut
for like,
time.
Cut for, yeah, if you search for that, it should get you right to it. But yeah, it's hilarious.
So let's talk about the fight on the squeaky tiki.
So Michael calls Kelly. Is this the one you're thinking about?
Yeah.
About Michael calls Kelly and has some information, or he has an opinion.
Oh, I could say some things that would blow up this whole engagement.
Right. So, I mean, what does he know? And what has he still not said? Because they filmed this how long ago? And we haven't gotten any tea from Michael.
I'm honestly upset that we are not at the point in our rise to fame where people have reached out to me on Instagram to be like, I know something about Eric.
Oh God, I am so grateful.
Like, that would be amazing.
I'm afraid there are people.
Because I feel like that is what they're always referring to. It's never facts, like Michael knows something, but like he probably heard from someone.
Right.
You know?
Oh God. I'm so scared now. Someone listening is gonna be like, well, check your DMs, Megan. You know, I feel like no outfit is complete without a spritz of perfume or cologne.
But with so many scents on the market, it's hard to find that signature smell without spending a fortune or hours in a store.
Instead of wasting so much time and money with cheap knockoffs and half-empty bottles of failed experiments, try Scentbird.
Scentbird is a luxury fragrance subscription service for perfumes and colognes.
With more than 600 designer brands to choose from, you can find your signature scent easily online.
Just select which one you'd like to test out that month, and Scentbird will send you a 30-day supply.
Last month, I rocked Eros by Versace when I went out.
And I picked You by Glossier, which has become my favorite.
If you're unsure of what scent you're looking for, Scentbird's website actually allows users to find a fragrance by brand, style, occasion, season, and more.
Aside from scents, they also have other categories like skincare, wellness, and makeup.
And just for our listeners, you can get 30% off your first month today. That's only $10 for your first fragrance.
Just head to scentbird.com/dish and use my code DISH, that's D-I-S-H, to receive 30% off your first month.
That's scentbird, scentbird.com/dish, for you to try your first perfume or cologne for just $10.
Sign on and smell amazing. So I got the chance to speak to Below Deck's Ashton Pinar. He talked about the morning after he kissed Kate Chastain because I wanted to know all the details and what the relationship is like now. Plus, he updates us on if Abby ended up getting married after her text message proposal. Plus, he refreshes us on the rules of lap dancing. Let's take a listen. All right, welcome to the podcast, Ashton.
Thank you.
After you've had like a long day of press today, no?
Yeah, we have.
Okay, what's like the one question you're sick of answering, and I'll make sure not to ask it.
There's been so many. It doesn't really matter. Like, just shoot. At this point, I don't care.
All right, well, let's get into the season then. I want to know, how was it coming in as a bosun? Like, were you worried at all that you were getting in over your head, or were you totally confident, like, I have this?
I was extremely nervous. It was my first bosun gig, and you know, I was fortunate enough to have such a great crew with such great attitudes and good work ethic that I could kind of ease into it. And after like the third or fourth day, I just had to kind of rely on what I knew up until that point, and my, you know, leadership skills until then. I wasn't going to learn anything new in those first 3 days, so I had to just kind of rely on what I knew. So, you know, once I started building the confidence in myself, I kind of executed more confidently than in the beginning, but secretly I was crapping myself.
Was there any point where you felt like Abby wasn't cut out for the job, or you didn't really figure that out until she told you she wanted to leave?
When I started figuring it out was when the other cast members start coming to me and telling me that Abby's unhappy. I thought up until that point that she was salvageable, that we could kind of motivate her and get her going. You know, obviously she had to make the transition between a sailing vessel and a motor vessel, which is a little bit different, which she struggled with. But I honestly thought she could get through it and stick around. I was quite sad to see her go.
You must have been surprised when you heard about the engagement.
I was totally taken back by that. You know, where I'm from and my values are a little bit different to, number one, asking somebody to marry you over text message. And just the whole commitment of the whole thing was just very, it was almost like unbelievable. I think I looked around and everyone was kind of waiting for the joke or someone to just say, oh, just kidding, and kind of laugh it off. But she was serious, and it was a serious thing. They are married today. So
what?
Yeah. I was just shocked, you know, completely, completely shocked.
Yeah. All right. So Ashton wouldn't propose over text, but would Smashton? Like, have you ever woken up and you're like, oh, like I proposed to someone over text last night?
You know, Smashton, he's the type of guy that would probably take a flight or a train or a bus to go and find that girl and then propose to them, but definitely not over text message.
Oh, even Smashton's romantic.
Even Smashton has some morals and values. Sometimes they're questionable, but they are there.
Yeah. How was it the day after you kissed Kate? Did you remember kissing Kate?
I did remember kissing Kate. It was pretty awkward because she made it awkward. You know, she completely made it out as if I attacked her and just like stuck my tongue down her throat. But whatever, if that's the way she wants to play it, then that's cool. It was a bit of a bruise to my ego, and it obviously wasn't pleasant standing there and, you know, having a girl kind of treat you that way. But it is what it is. If that's the way she wants to handle it, then that's her prerogative.
Yeah.
Kind of.
When you're dealing with all these relationships on deck, how do you sort of maintain your role as leader when things get heated?
I think you just got to try and keep as professional as possible. When things really get heated, you got to kind of just try and tame the emotions down. I think we all get very caught up in our own emotional drama in our own heads, never mind other people's drama and emotions. So I think just to try and also take yourself out of your own shoes and try and see somebody else's perspective, as difficult as that is, and yeah, just try and be professional.
Yeah.
And handle the situation as level-headed as possible.
Was there ever a moment this season where you were like, ugh, I really want to quit right now?
No.
No?
I'm not a quitter. You know, I'd push as hard as I can to make something work with the hardest of crew. So,
yeah.
You know, quitting had never crossed my mind.
I have to wonder, you're a good-looking guy.
Thank
you. Do the charter guests often get crushes on you? Is there a lot of flirting always?
Yeah, there is with certain groups. But again, you got to be professional. There's a few charter guests this season that's come on quite hard. And it's a fine line between, you know, flirting back and making them feel welcome and good about themselves, but not overstepping that boundary.
Have you ever dated a charter guest?
No.
No.
Not yet.
Ooh.
Look, I'm a firm believer in crew should not hook up with charter guests on charter.
Right.
But whatever happens afterwards is, you know, that's fair game.
Right. But that hasn't happened yet.
Not yet.
All right. All right.
No dating, at least.
Other than a lap dance, what is the craziest request you've gotten from a charter guest?
I get this question a lot, and I haven't really had crazy requests. I've always had pretty decent charter guests. I think the craziest guests I've had have been on the show, and you guys see most of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've worked on family vessels and mostly family-owned vessels, and the charter boats I have worked on have been quite a prestigious type of crowd of people. So I haven't really had many.
Well, I think we were all in the office fascinated by your golden rules of giving a lap dance. So could you, just for the listeners who might have missed it, once again, like, what goes into like a really good lap dance?
Well, I was always taught that you need to be able to touch yourself and be comfortable with that.
Check.
And then you've got to be able to be touched, because the person you're giving a lap dance to is going to touch you, and you promote that touching, but you also control that kind of touching. So you grab their hand and let them touch you. And then you got to have loose hips. So you got to make those movements count, and you got to make them feel what you're doing.
Mm.
So I think, and then you got to be a little bit cheeky as well. So you got to get cheeky somewhere in it, and obviously thank the person afterwards.
Do you have any like amazing stories from when you strip?
There's many. I mean, dirty, yeah, amazing. I'm not really sure. I've had, you know, I think the weirdest request was having a couple request for me to do a lap dance for the wife while the husband watches. That was pretty much the most kind of touch and go thing I was faced with.
It's a hot wife situation happening. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What was your reaction when you found out Riley was coming back?
Oh, that was one of those moments where you just want to kind of let your emotions take over and give up or scream or do whatever you need to do. But I couldn't, you know. This was the card I'd been dealt, and I had to, again, deal with it professionally. So my brain just started thinking immediately, like, what I need to do from my side to make this work. You know, she was coming. There was no two questions about that. And I couldn't be an emotional wreck about it. I had to kind of think about how I was going to treat her, how I was going to treat her differently, because Riley is such that you need to treat her differently. And my biggest thing was just, how was I going to keep peace on deck? Because, you know, I know Riley pretty well from last season. I know how she was mistreated last season. I knew what she was not happy about. So again, it gave me good footing on how to start the relationship with her. I think we did pretty well a few days in, and then the wheels just started slowly falling off again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's not a season of redemption for her?
Look, I think she can be very proud of how far she did go, or how far along she came from last year. She really did give it a good effort. I think from both our side we did. And she did well. She really did step up. I think towards the end it was just maybe a personality clash. I don't know if it was between me or between her and the rest of the men in the world or what it was, but there's just a chip on her shoulder that I couldn't get past, or I couldn't, you know, I just couldn't get past it. And as much as I tried to make the working relationship work, it just didn't.
Yeah. I know that Kate has a lot of drama this season too. Like, we saw that in the Super Tease. Are you two still friends today?
No. No, not at all. She's making it pretty clear that she's going after me already on social media. She's already name calling. I'm getting the misogynistic male stripper name tag thrown my way already. There hasn't been any drama on camera with her and I yet. So it's a clear strategy of her to build up or to put me down already with the fans. So she knows what's coming, and she's obviously trying to build something against me already. So we'll see how it all pans out.
Yeah. Anything that you would want to say to fans who are going to watch that episode?
You know, the whole thing with me and Kate throughout the whole season is it's a tight program in terms of everything that happens within those 6 or 7 weeks. It was towards the end of the season where emotions are high. You know, it's been a long season. Everybody's tired. I could have definitely handled things differently from my end, which I fully agree on. But things could have been handled differently from both sides. And I'm the type of guy that can take myself out of a situation and be like, cool, this is where I went wrong and what I could have done differently. And I think I'll just appeal to the audience to understand that there's always two sides and just see two perspectives. And it's not only on the show, it's in life. You know, you might feel so strongly towards one opinion, but it's not the only opinion. Whether you like it or not, there is another side. Whether you like the way somebody behaved or what they're saying to you, it's coming from somewhere. It's not just that those people are crazy. Mm.
Lastly, I have to know, have any Real Housewives reached out to you?
No, they haven't.
Ugh, I thought for sure maybe Sonia Morgan or Ramona.
No, nobody yet.
All right, well, I'm shipping you and some Real Housewives. So get ready.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. This was great.
Thank you very much.
Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Yes.
Okay, so one thing that I want to talk about outside of this episode that has happened and people have been noting on social media is that Eva posted a picture on her Instagram of her new house, like in the front lawn, standing in front, like, hello, everyone. Here's my new home. I'm so happy. I think in a way to be like, haters, back up. This is my house.
I paid for it.
Exactly. People are calling her out in terms of, like, you keep saying that you don't want your, you know, donor to find you and your daughter and all of this stuff. So why are you going to post what your house looks like on social media? So
sometimes people like the Kardashians on their show, it's not really their house that we're seeing. And I know that we do that with housewives too. Like, sometimes the exterior building we're seeing isn't necessarily the building they live in.
Yeah.
But why put it out there on social if it's, you know what I mean?
Right. Unless it is a fake house. Maybe she's faking everybody. I don't know. We should ask Marlo what she thinks, because I feel like she has opinions on that.
Marlo is never short of opinions.
Another thing I wanted to point out that does have to do with this episode, we're now on the 5th episode of the season. We have not gotten all of the women together in one scene yet.
I know.
The closest we get is the Bailey queue. But there is no Nene.
Right.
There's only that bitch Yovana.
And do you think it's partly because there's probably behind the scenes shenanigans in terms of, I'm not going to film with her. I'm not going to film with her.
Probably.
I mean, but then again, why would Cynthia invite Nene?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it makes sense at this point, just circumstantially, why they're not all together. They were just some of them in New York. I mean, Candy was there. They were there for the flow. I mean, I guess they just haven't really been all in the same place in a couple weeks or whatever. But it's just like Danny always says when we're watching it, he's like, I love when they all film together. And that just hasn't happened yet this season.
We have to get it.
Speaking of the city and Riley, did you have any idea she was interning here this summer? Because I didn't.
I didn't. That apartment is insane. I know. Insane.
Yeah, it's on the Upper East Side because you can see from her window Roosevelt Island and then right over into Long Island City in Queens.
It's so funny because I have been on a rooftop similar to that and I was like, wait, is this the same? But if it's on Upper East Side, no.
I think so. Or it's on Roosevelt Island. Like, I couldn't exactly tell.
No, Candy wouldn't.
Candy would not.
No.
Roosevelt Island is cute.
No, I love it. But I'm just saying, like, when your daughter has an internship at a law firm in Manhattan.
Yeah. Right.
You're probably going to have her, like, in Midtown or Upper East Side.
It's true. And it's a dope apartment. So good job, Riley.
Except she doesn't know how to clean it.
She did not know how to make ice, no.
Wait, does the ice machine not work? How does this work? Is it supposed to make? It should make it? But how?
No, they don't have that feature there. Have you ever seen an ice tray? You know what ice tray is?
Oh, I have to freeze my own ice?
But you know what? I have to say, when I was 16, I think I knew how to, like, refill an ice tray. But, like, I remember going to college. This is so embarrassing. But I remember going to college and going to do laundry, and I put all of my clothes in the dryer and poured the detergent on my clothes in the dryer and, like, turned it on. And then I looked at it, and I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I know. My mom had always done my laundry up until that point.
First of all, you privileged motherfucker.
I know, I'm going to get so much.
I had to do the laundry in the family.
Did you?
Every weekend I was folding for four people.
Oh my God. I think I used to put my laundry away, but.
Oh,
my God, so much. No, I mean, I was an only child. I was relatively spoiled compared to other people in terms of that stuff, but I just thought it was such a. Not cliche moment, but it was just one of those things where it's like, of course that's what I did.
You're like, Mom, I can't. I have theater practice.
I can't. I have rehearsal. That's what all those shirts say that are like theater kits. But yeah, so I mean, I did know how to make ice. Probably didn't know how to do my own laundry. I'm not sure if Riley does, but living on your own, that's how you learn. So yes. Good for Riley. She spent a summer in New York. Not an easy city. At least she had supervision. At first, I was like, she's only 16. Like, right. She can't be living in this place by herself.
Well, and I was mad at first because I thought it was a two-bedroom for her.
I know. I was like, no. She doesn't need all that. But yeah, so she had adult supervision. So she's good. The doll that shows up at the Bailey queue.
She had another home at first. Who she live with? Someone else had given it to me.
Is it the new
bunny?
Yes, it is, right?
Look, I don't think these housewives are studying each other. Like, I don't know that Kenya has watched every episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Right.
I don't think she's knowingly doing so, but I'm like, no, we've already had a bunny moment. Right, you can't return the doll.
But I wouldn't put it past Kenya to just come up with that on her own.
Yeah.
You know? So I think we need to start collecting souvenirs as they do in the clubhouse.
Mm.
And I would like to see if we can get that doll.
It's like not even a fun doll. It doesn't even do anything.
Neither did the bunny.
That's true.
But so I guess it was Eva bought it for Kenya as a peace offering. Kenya, not wanting to accept the negative energy that might have come with it, passes it on to Portia. Which, so it's kind of like the bunny, but not really, because the bunny just went like in a circle. It went from one person back to the same. Kenya tried to pass it forward to somebody else. And Portia's like, I don't want this.
Also, no. Yeah, you can't re-gift something.
Especially not in front of the people who, if they're at the party.
Yeah.
No.
What do you think about Cynthia saying that babies weren't allowed at the party?
I was kind of okay with that.
Me too.
I feel this way about a lot of events, including weddings. I think some weddings don't need kids running around.
Right.
You know, especially ceremonies can be interrupted
they
by children.
They weren't allowed at mine.
See? Ceremonies can be interrupted. Receptions can be like, we're drinking too much. There's kids here. It's kind of weird. You know, and so I feel like time and a place for babies in particular.
When Giselle was on our live show at BravoCon, she said that Ashley can't leave baby Dean at home.
Right.
And she's like, and brings him everywhere, even occasions babies shouldn't be attending. And I feel like that's probably what Cynthia's thinking. Like, no, I want you to be fun Portia. I don't want you to be mom Portia.
Yeah. I mean, their babies are still very young, but at this point, it's sort of like, give yourself a break. You know, and I know Portia's had trouble getting a nanny and all of that, but let's just sort of like leave the babies at home. Let's just have like girls' day and not worry about that.
What do you think about Cynthia's Bailey Q?
I like that she's trying to make it like an annual event.
But it's always weird and like a weird theme.
It does feel a little off, and the whole like wear red or get red thing feels like it's setting it up to be like a dramatic situation. I liked the awards part of it. I thought that was kind of fun and
cute.
See,
I thought they were half-hearted about it. They're like, oh, yeah, just give it to her.
Oh, right. Well, they were, like, it got kind of weird with the whole, like, what is your biggest insecurity? And then it just got, like, very dark with the way Kenya answered. And then everyone was sort of like, and Marlo's trying to be like, oh, I will read any of you, but like, let me just say, like, you are all beautiful and you are all strong. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like,
I want you all to know you're beautiful. You're everything. You really are. Even if you don't like me, even if I don't like you, even if you don't like the way I act, you're everything in this world. And you have to believe in yourself. And
I'm telling you, I'm in the hills right now.
But I'm just saying.
And it just, I do love that dynamic about these women, is they are so shady and they can be so just like not mean to each other, but they can read each other really quickly when they disagree, but they are also very quick to just like back each other up. And we saw it, you know, seasons ago with Nene and Greg, and just like showing up to support her at her opening of Swagalicious and all of that. So I do love that dynamic, but sometimes when you're forced into these like wear red or be red situations, it just is gonna get a little out of control. And this meal kind of did.
Who's the thirstiest, do you think, of you and I?
Of you and I? I think it's you.
Fair.
I didn't remember which award Portia got. I noticed that she had a medal, but I kind of missed which award she got. But I thought all of the rest of them were pretty on point.
Yeah. You know? It makes me want to follow Yovana.
I mean, that one clip, I was like, I don't know. I mean, I am weirdly fascinated by her.
Right, I agree.
And I hope she continues to show up this season. But Cynthia's point about her, or was it Cynthia's point about her? Somebody was like, you seem to be Nene's mouthpiece.
Right.
And that's never a good look. Like, you don't want to be the puppet. It's just, it's you will never kind of be respected as standing on your own. And that a little bit comes up about Cynthia,
right,
in this episode, that she's always a little bit more of the submissive friend, or she's a little more passive and she aligns herself with the stronger personalities so that she doesn't always have to kind of be the one to be so tough.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when they said that, I was kind of like, that seems kind of accurate, actually.
Right.
But I don't know, who is she aligned with right now? Who is her, like, person. Yeah. So I sat down with Married to Medicine's Quad Webb, fresh off of filming the reunion. So, you know, she had a lot to say about certain people. She also talked about her experience at BravoCon, if she felt left out at all during the couple's trip in Mexico, and if she has a hard time trusting Toya because of her friendship with Mariah. Plus, she answers some fan questions from YouTube. Here's that interview.
Let's
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Quad Webb from Married to Medicine. Quad, what's going on?
Everything, honey. All of everything is going on. Yes, everything is good.
We are still here recovering from BravoCon. So what was that experience like for you?
BravoCon was absolutely amazing. I think the biggest highlight for me was to watch What Happens Live.
Oh, my God.
When it was like 77 Bravo celebrities on one stage. And it was just electrifying. It really, really was. It was epic. And just for the turnout of fans, there was not an empty seat in the house.
Right.
I said, yes, Bravo.
Were there any?
Get you an extended coin.
Being all together with all the Bravo Labs, was there anyone that you met that you were super excited to meet?
No, because I know the people. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like excitement. It's just good to see them again.
Right.
How about that?
That's
so,
fair.
Yeah.
What about fans? Were there any notable fan interactions?
Oh, my God. People are like crying. I'm like, why are you crying? I'm like, is Michael Jackson behind me? Like, why are you crying? It's like, oh, my God, Quad, I love you so much.
Right.
So you just really see like the impact that you have on people, and you know, and how you have been able to connect with people.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it makes it all worth it at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Was there any like behind the scenes drama? Anything we didn't see?
Drama. Not for us.
Okay.
Not for the Married to Medicine ladies. You know, everybody got along very well. Good and fake.
Right.
Yeah, good and fake. Everybody got along. Good
you know,
and fake.
With the big Watch What Happens Live episode, you know, Lisa Vanderpump was there, but so were the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills
yes.
ladies. So, like, I didn't know if maybe you saw
yes.
something
no,
going
I,
on
I,
backstage.
I did. Everyone was kind of pulled up, okay. really and truly. I think that there were a lot of people who had a lot to say about Kim Zolciak's performance.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah.
Well, it was like a little duet with Andy, right?
So. Andy was really getting it, honey. He meant business. He came out there and said, don't be tardy for the party.
Oh, right. I mean, Andy yeah. was getting kissed by Frederick.
Oh,
I mean,
now that was, I was like, isn't he married?
Right.
I'm like, what? And not only once, but twice. Mm-hmm. And there was some tongue action.
There was some tongue action. Yes, it was quite a memorable moment.
I don't know how, when Frederick got home, I don't know how that conversation
yeah,
went,
I'm not
honey.
Sure what happened there.
I think there was some vases broken. I think some shoes were thrown, mm-hmm. maybe a couple of cell phones.
Right.
I'm just like, I couldn't believe it. And he went back for more.
I know. Cameras should have followed that moment.
Probably a sweet kiss if he went back for seconds.
Right. Ooh. Let's talk a little bit about this season. So over the course of the season, we've seen Dr. Jackie kind of make a lot of attempts to sort of get everyone together and fix the problems
right.
that are going on in the group. Do you think these efforts follow through? Do you think it happens? Or is it kind of just like a little Band-Aid?
No.
No.
It doesn't work. She's unsuccessful
yeah.
the entire season.
But why do you think?
I truly feel that people just don't want to receive her.
Yeah.
I think when she puts it out there to try to explain herself or apologize, there's already been a preconceived notion that's kind of been in people's brains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they don't want to even openly receive her. They've made a conscious decision to do the polar opposite.
Right.
Yeah. They want to be angry. They want to be mad. They want to. In my opinion, I do believe, you know, there are some people who are actually just coming for her reputation, mm-hmm. period.
Who is that in particular?
Mariah.
There we go.
Yeah. She's. I truly believe she's coming for Jackie's
right.
Reputation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about Jackie later, but I want to ask you about the date that Dr. Heavenly took you on, where there was like a surprise second guest.
That was a hot mess.
And then that one guy followed you into the bathroom.
Yes, who does that?
I mean,
I'm like, you're stalkerish.
Right.
I just met you. Like, I don't know. This is the women's restroom. And
right.
then he was so aggressive. I need you to get out. I need to talk to her. Who are you?
Yeah.
Like, I'm afraid.
I mean, I stood up from my desk and I was like, well, I hope the cameraman stays in there. Like, we can't leave her alone.
Well, where's security?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was not expecting that. I wasn't expecting for him to come into the restroom. I wasn't expecting the second date.
Yeah.
I'm like, what was she thinking? Like, there's a tree and then there's a stump. You know, like, what am I supposed to do with these men?
So my guess is that you have not had a second date with either one of those gentlemen.
And I never will.
Okay,
catch
fair
those
enough.
Teas. Yeah. I never will.
Well, what about other dating? Are you currently seeing anyone? What's going on in the love life?
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I am dating.
Okay.
I am dating. I'm having fun. It's exciting. You know, I have a lot to look forward to.
What are
I
some
really
of the
do.
Qualities that you're looking for in a partner now moving forward?
Just that, a partner. Mm-hmm. I want someone that I can build with, someone who is loving, considerate, kind, someone who is very supportive and who can, you know, help me to learn and grow as a woman. I want a man who is coinage. He has to have more money than me.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm not here to take care of a man. I'm not in that business.
Mm-hmm.
He has to have great credit. Yes. And at first I was like, I wouldn't really want to have a man who has children, although I love children. But I was thinking more along the lines, I don't need any baby mama drama, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I love kids so much. And then when I really stopped to think about it at my age, you know, I'm 38 now.
Yeah.
You know, and what man is not going to have kids, you know?
That's true.
Yeah, unless I went like super young, and I'm not doing that.
Right.
Right. So
we don't have time for that.
Exactly. So I'm accepting of children, but they just have to be a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least 5 years old.
Okay.
Like, you have to be, you know, 5 years removed from the.
Yeah. No babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
No babies.
Yeah. No
I don't
babies.
Blame you.
No babies. So at least five and, you know, letter up to young teen.
Okay. Well, we're putting that out there.
I could work with that because I could work. I can develop my own relationship with those children.
Yep.
I can be a part of their lives. I can help to shape and mold them in a positive
yeah.
way. So I'm from five to like 13. I can roll with
okay.
it.
Okay. All yeah. right. Well, ladies, you heard the requirements. Yes. So if you have someone for quad, you let yes. us know.
Oh, and let's talk about the physicality of he needs oh, to be okay. tall. He needs to be fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he needs to be in shape. Physically inclined. Yes.
All right. There
I
we
mean,
go.
I mean, because I'm all of that, but I'm not really tall. But I got everything else.
Totally fair. When you're around Toya, do you yeah. ever feel like you have to be a little bit censored just knowing that she has such a close friendship with Mariah?
Honestly, I really never speak of Malaya. Mm-hmm. I really just don't really do that. So I don't have to have to worry about saying anything because I don't talk about her.
Right.
You know, okay. like me saying her name twice in this interview is like, the most you're going to get.
Yeah.
So that's done. I'm at my max.
My next question was going to be, is there a chance to repair that friendship in the future?
Oh, God. It's so much has been said.
Yeah.
So much has been done. I really would say I hate where we are. I'm mm-hmm. going to tell you that.
Yeah.
But we've been here for a long time, so right. it's pretty much I'm settled in on it.
Yeah.
Because we've been here for a long time, and right. I don't think that anything is going to really change now.
Okay. That's fair. Dr. Contessa, a lot of the conversation this season has been around her relationship with her husband, mm-hmm. going back to school, and then her withdrawing from school. So has she opened up to you about her struggles?
Of course.
And what sort of advice have you given her?
Well, I do try to stay very open-minded.
Yeah.
I'm never going to come across judgmental. In terms of their marriage, because I'm not in it. I just want to see them win. They have three beautiful children. They've created an amazing life together, and I want to see them thrive.
Yeah.
So I try to tell her to just put yourself in his shoes every once in a while. And even when you're so angry and you just want to say it and you want to be mean, stop for a moment, take a beat, mm-hmm. and think about a better way, a better approach. Because here's the deal, and I actually learned this, coming out of, you know, my marriage.
Yeah.
When you're angry and you say things, it's not going to be received.
Right.
And if it's not received, then there will be no change.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of just take a beat for a moment and see what's a positive way that I can say this where it can be effective.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to talk to her like
that's
that.
Great. I don't yeah. think they need to go to therapy. They need to go to you.
Come to Miss Quad, honey. Come to Miss Quad. And see, this is why I was supposed to be on the couples trip.
Right.
This is one of the reasons why.
I mean, well, I was going to ask next about the couples trip.
What's wrong with you people?
Well, you were allowed to go on the couples trip this season. Everyone was like, yes, we welcome
I'm
you, Quad.
I'm coming on the couples trip every season.
What was your mindset going into the couples trip? I mean, obviously, you know, as the only kind of solo person, like, yeah. where was your head at?
Well, it's happened before on yeah. our show. This is not the first time that women have been on the show on a couples trip alone. For me, I've done it once before, and I really didn't make it wasn't a big deal to me, you know, yeah. because if we're here in terms of those couples trips are there to help relationships across the board, whether if it's a friendship, a marriage or whatever, it's about relationships. And for me, I've been through a lot.
Yeah,
I really have. And I can tell you, you know, things to do and what not to do at this point. I like to think I'm very experienced in the realm of relationships, period.
Yeah, yeah, well, your perspective is valuable to yes. couples at this yes. point, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people, I get all the time direct messages, you know, oh, my God, I'm going through a terrible marriage right now, and I have children, or I want to leave, but I don't have the finances to do so. And, you know, seeing you just gives me so much strength and motivation. And,
wow.
you know, I'm telling you, I get it's like an outpour.
Yeah.
An outpour. So, you know, it was tough for me last year. It was very challenging, I got to tell you. But when I look at it on the flip side to see how many people that I have had a positive impact on or I have helped them to possibly find their happiness, whether if it's staying in that marriage and doing something different in it or actually leaving,
yeah.
It makes it all worth it for me.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's so yeah. well said.
Oh, thank
I'm
you.
Touched.
Wait a minute. Give me a Kleenex. He's crying.
I will say your room was a little bit further away than everyone else. Like, there's the footage
bit.
Of you just, like, climbing
a little
the stairs.
Bit. Honey, I had to take a damn Uber to get to that room, child. It was so damn far from the people.
But that's kind of nice, though, right? You're just, like, tucked
away. I was fine with it. Was fine. I didn't want to, you know. Here's the deal. I think when people try to take digs at me or they throw lemons at me, I just make lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
There you go.
That's it, honey.
I have to ask about the situation between Buffy and Dr. Jackie at that dinner.
Yes.
So how did you react in that moment?
I was very shocked. I was hurt, actually. Yeah. I'm like, damn, why are these are two good people and they're going at each other and they have so much in common. And they're not, it's almost like Buffy just wasn't receiving what Jackie had been trying to say. And I think Jackie had apologized a number of times, but it just wasn't, it wasn't getting through to her.
Right.
She just, I don't know. I feel that Buffy was so hurt that she didn't, although she wanted the apology, she was also angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw like a side of Dr. Jackie almost mm-hmm. that I feel like we hadn't seen. Like there was a change in her voice and she looked.
We've seen it before, honey. Okay. let's talk about, let's go to the, remember when she had the tea party?
Okay.
What was that? That was the, I can't remember what season was that. What season was that? No, it was probably first season. It was probably first or second season. Yeah. Yes. So we saw her, like, she got, you know, stood
she
up
switched.
There. She switched right there. We also saw when we were doing the breast cancer awareness photo shoot for her lookbook, she said, "Get the hell out."
Oh, right.
Remember that?
Yes, okay.
Oh, yeah, so it's in her, honey. Don't sleep.
Well, we haven't seen it in a while.
Don't sleep on Mother, honey. It's there.
So you guys just did the reunion. Was there conversation between Buffy and Dr. Jackie at the reunion?
Listen, brought tears to my eyes.
Wow.
Just know that.
Okay.
Just know that. Very profound.
Mm-hmm.
Very profound.
Other than that, what else went down at the reunion? Was anyone in particular in the hot seat?
You know, Heavenly was in the hot seat. There was some conversations that I most certainly wanted to, and some issues that, some things that I wanted to deal with and dealt with it to the fullest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, redemption is mine. And so, you know, it's a damn good reunion, y'all.
Do you feel like people Seriously. Left with a sense of resolution, like things felt...
You
contained.
Know what? Yes, we had to go through some rough patches before we got there. But I think there's really some relationships will be repaired.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to take work.
Okay. It always does, right?
Yeah, it's going to take it's going to be more than just saying it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or being in an emotional moment at that time. And then you're going to fall back to your bad habits.
Right.
It cannot be like that way.
Well, I think that's what, to your point earlier about Dr. Jackie, bringing everyone together to these meetings where you address the issues, like the action has to come after. You can talk about the issues, but you have to act on that later on. So this season, we've also asked many of your castmates who have come in for interviews about who in the cast has changed the most.
Mm-hmm.
And you were the answer to a lot of their questions.
Really?
Yeah. So how do you think you've changed since being on the show?
You know, for me, I think just personal growth and allowing myself to really be, you know, a positive person.
Mm-hmm.
I think showing my dedication and my work ethic. I think from... God, becoming a brand contributor for BCBG, now an author of Cooking with Miss Quad, Live, mm-hmm. Love, Laugh, and Eat, the owner of Picture Perfect Pup. I have a talk show now,
right?
You know,
Sister Circle. Yeah.
I actually have my own day in the city of Atlanta. Yes.
What day is that?
Yes. Oh, actually, it's June 6th. Well, June 6th. 18th.
Okay.
June 18th.
Okay.
Yes, it's June 18th because it's the day before. It's the day before Juneteenth, and this year we're going to do some amazing things. I mean, God has been good to me. I got to tell you that. So if they said it in a shady way, I just gave you my resume.
Oh no, mm-hmm. They were not shady at all. They were all very honest about that.
Were they?
Yes.
My friends. How
Absolutely.
About that? Yeah. So it's been just personal growth and just trying to just be my absolute best at everything that I do.
Yeah.
And you know, even I want to repair some of the relationships within the circle of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I got Simone on my radar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Her and I are going to be just fine.
Good.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the release of your cookbook, Cooking with Miss Quad.
Yes.
So I wanted to play a little game here where if you had to select a recipe from your book to describe each of your cast members, what would you choose? Okay. So I'm going to give you, I will only do a couple. I won't make you do everybody. So
okay.
let's start with Dr. Jackie.
Oh, Dr. Jackie. I will say Dr. Jackie will be my lobster mac and cheese.
Ooh.
She's nice and smooth with her words and she's creamy. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Heavenly.
Honey, Heavenly. Oh, how about my vinaigrette? Brussels sprouts.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, Brussels sprout can be a little bitter, but flavorful.
Yes.
a little crispy on the outside once it's roasted, but tender on the inside.
I like that. Okay. Yeah. Dr. Contessa.
Oh, Dr. Contessa. Dr. Contessa is so sweet. She's really, really sweet. I would have to say, oh, God. And you know what? She's a lot of things. She really is. I'm going to say she's like my seafood dressing.
Okay.
Yes, we have a little lobster in there. We have some shrimp in there. We got the onions, the bell peppers, the oysters. And Contessa, listen, she was in the military. She's a physician. She's going back to school to get another degree. She's so much in a positive way, in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I have to do it, Mariah.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Dang. Okay, fine. We'll move on to some fan questions.
I told you I was at my max.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right, so now we have some fan questions from YouTube, okay. Which these are all not shady. Don't worry.
You see, he died.
So Beauty by Nisia asks, what advice would you give to a first-time author looking to publish?
I would actually say go with a publishing house that first time around, just so you can absolutely learn the mechanics of it, because it is tough to self-publish.
Okay.
And you want that machine behind you. You want the marketing behind you. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to do press about it. You want it, you know, you really want to get as many eyes on your book as possible. So I would say first time around, for me, I would go with a publishing house, because I ain't got time, honey, to be packing up no books, said I got to go down to the FedEx or the UPS. I'm tired.
Right.
I can't do it.
Right. Well, that's a lot of work. So that's good to know. Yeah.
And then writing it takes some time. Mm-hmm. I worked with a publishing house and it still was overwhelming at times, yeah. You know, making sure all the recipes were put together with precision, because it's one thing to know it, but it's a different thing to teach it and right. then not teaching it verbally. Okay. And the food styling and then selecting which recipes that I was going to go with. And oh my God, it was tough.
It's a lot.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And then all of the photo shoots, I did a million photo shoots.
Right.
Did it right in my kitchen, but I did a million photo shoots. Seriously. Yeah.
So a lot goes into it. Yeah. Yeah. Joyce Parada asks, how do you stay so beautiful? So maybe give us a little glimpse into your beauty routine.
Hey, Joyce. How you doing, girl? I appreciate it. So how do I stay so beautiful? Actually, I got to attribute a lot of it to my mom. I mean, I got good genes,
good
honey. Good genes from the skin to the body to the physique, everything. I got good genes. But I do use a little diamond dust. It's just a facial wash and a cleanser and a moisturizer, but it's supposed to have a little diamond dust in it, honey. That's what they say, child. But it's been working for me, right. So yeah.
You believe it. You're like, it's got diamonds in it.
I do. I do believe in it, yeah.
Marsha T wants to know, how are your babies, a.k.a. dogs?
Chloe and Kari, they're so, so spoiled. They are so... let me tell you something. I really think I'm taking care of grown women. Somebody has died and came back reincarnated in the form of four-legged little babies, and their names are Chloe and Kari. I promise I'm taking care of somebody. Somebody needs a job. They do, because Chloe is so... like, she's my baby that needs a lot of love, a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. She doesn't let me get out of her sight. Literally. And she's very dainty and everything. I took her to work with me. We were at Sister Circle at the studio. No one was standing around her. No one. And she's like, because she wanted some attention. I said, girl, nobody stepped on you.
Right.
No one stepped on your paw. And no one touched you. Girl.
You need to take them to a dog whisperer and find out who they were in a former life.
I have to do that. And Kari, she's more reserved. She is more, she's more independent. She's much stronger than Chloe. Please don't tell Chloe I said that. It'll be smoke in the
city.
Secret
is safe here, okay?
It will be smoke in the city. But Kari is a lot stronger. Like, one time Kari had a leg broken in three places. It was some little boy that almost took me out, child, but that's okay. It was my friend's little boy, but it's okay. And so she was so strong. Like, she wasn't, like, I know she was in pain, but she wasn't, like, whimpering or anything. Had it been Chloe, if a feather can drop on Chloe.
She's very over. Sensitive.
It's over, honey. It's over. She's pressing charges.
We've got a legal issue here.
Yes.
All right, we'll do one more. So Kihwan Lynette asks, which career has been more fulfilling, biology or media?
Oh,
it's a good one.
I love that one. You better know Miss Quad, honey. You know, I do enjoy science. I really do. And I enjoyed sales when I was in sales. But I got to tell you, there's nothing like television. There's nothing like entertainment. It's so rewarding. Although you do go through a lot of things at times, but it's so rewarding.
Yeah.
And in entertainment, there's so many levels you can go. All you have to do is have the hard work and dedication behind you.
Yeah. That's it. Opens the door to so many opportunities.
It does.
And hey, you've taken them.
Hello, somebody. I'm going to take a couple of more. I want all the jobs, honey. All the jobs.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Quad, for coming in. I appreciate it.
Real Housewives of Dallas.
I do not want to hear the baby elephant song ever again.
Is that a real song?
No. Cam and Court made it up one time when they went to Thailand years ago. And Cam just had to bring it to the ladies. And now it's just like, it's this recurring song on the trip. And it's just like, it's really not pleasing to me.
This dress situation is making me so upset.
I know. I know.
Here's why. As I've said before, Deandra and Carrie were absolutely not joking. It was not a joke. They were trying to be assholes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We all know this. I firmly believe Leanne knows this. Brandy knows this. Stephanie knows this. Cameron knows this. But no one's saying it, like, to their faces.
Right.
Like, you're full of shit.
I know. It's hard to call them out on it, though, because at this point now, they have apologized. Like, I think Carrie Brittingham, she did have a sincere apology. I think she didn't really maybe understand the full context and the history of Deandra and Leanne, and maybe didn't totally get it. And so she apologized for it. But I do think Deandra did know what she was doing. And it was a little bit of like, she was channeling a little too much Mama D with right. being that kind of shady and very forward yeah. about kind of being insulting and then trying to be like, well, I didn't mean it. That's a very Mama D move, I think.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm glad we got past it. And once they got to the elephant sanctuary, everything seemed to sort of calm down. And I do love seeing the women get along. Like, when they do get along and they're just having fun and they're having some kind of amazing shared experience, like being around these elephants, like, I love those moments.
Right.
But they, you know, they don't last.
Literally, the only reason I want to go to Thailand, maybe, is the elephant sanctuary.
Not the ping pong show.
My favorite thing, actually, ever, is Cam explaining the ping pong show with drawings.
I appreciated her explanation of the ladyboy show.
Both. But it's like, she's like, ping pong, start shooting. It's just,
and she's got like the dots. She's just like drawing.
Leg goes up. All of a sudden, ping pong starts shooting everywhere. Oh my God. And they're hitting everyone's heads. You are gonna lose your face. And they were kind of bossy. I try to get up and then they try to hit me with a dart.
I love that they give paddles too. I mean, well, that's a whole other thing. Like the whole ping pong show. We can get into that.
Let's do it. Let's just skip.
Let's just get into that.
Yeah.
Let's skip the elephants in the room and get right to the ping pong show. So I think towards the end of the episode, we start to really break down, okay, where are the lines here? You know, Leanne launches into Cameron when she comes back into the room being like, you know how many sex workers we just saw. So I kind of went and did a little bit of research as I was watching it to try to figure out what's the deal with these ping pong shows. Like, is it part of some kind of horrible slave trade thing, whatever. So, I mean, they are legal shows in Thailand. Whether they're ethical or not, I think is what is up for debate.
I mean, you could say the same thing about strip clubs.
Exactly. And so, you know, Leanne is hypersensitive to those sort of situations. And so I completely understand why. And I can remember going back to when I was in Montreal and I was at a bachelorette party and we went one night to a female strip club and then the second night to like a male strip club, which was very like Magic Mike, but like actual penises. But at the female...
As opposed to
like not seeing the penises.
Okay,
like we saw the penises. They were right up in your face. But like the night before, like there was a lot going on in the female strip club that was more than just stripping. And I personally was sort of like, I don't want to see this. So I don't know if that was like what Carrie did too. She went like running out of the ping pong show and like all of the, you know, I think everyone has certain levels of sensitivity with that stuff, but you can't really be judgmental about it.
Right.
Right.
I agree with you that the lines are blurred. I personally don't know how I would feel about it either. Like, yeah. I get where Leanne's coming from, which for sure. is like, anytime you even go to a sanctuary, like an animal sanctuary, you have to look it up to know if, like, is this actually okay? Because a lot of places will say they are, but then they have you ride the elephants, and that's not okay. You know right. what I mean?
No, exactly. And I do feel like Leanne's reaction leaving the elephant sanctuary was absolutely
the same.
100% sincere.
Any elephant you can ride has been broken.
That's so broken. Sad. That is so sad.
And as a human who knows what broken is, it's horrible.
Oh, Leanne.
I know.
Like, I think she was triggered by that. And honestly, being around animals like that, animals are almost more emotionally triggering for people sometimes than other human beings. Like, there is just a sensitivity there when it comes to the innocence of animals that really hits people.
And I think to go from that to the red light district, she's, whether she realizes it or not, like, drawing these comparisons.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know if everyone else was being as sensitive to her about that because they have kind of rolled their eyes at her in the past and been like, well, it always comes back to that for her. And to Leanne's point, there is a trauma there that will always exist in her, and it will come out in these various ways. Like, maybe at a, like, random dinner with everyone isn't the place where you would expect it to come out, but Elephant Sanctuary, ping pong show with sex workers in, you know, the shady red light district, like, that's where it's going
to
happen.
I have to say, this, it's not her fault, but Leanne is always going to be, I think, someone who's harder to be friends with.
Mm-hmm.
Because she does have so much trauma in her background. She can't be as light and fun as everyone else.
Right, right. And I think that's what, maybe with someone like Stephanie, who does present herself as someone with a lot of light, and she is so fun and outgoing and, you know, laughing with Brandy all the time, she has a darkness in her too. And I think that's what draws her to Leanne. But I think someone like maybe Carrie Brittingham, like, she, for whatever reason, can't get through that with Leanne.
Right.
It's kind of complicated. What did you think of the condom-themed restaurant?
Loved it. So I was like, fun.
It's like, I think that might be Megan's Rose this week. I'm not sure.
But it just, it sucks. The food wasn't good.
I know. I mean, you can't have like this whole gimmicky thing and then it's like the food's not good.
But it's kind of like that with all sort of touristy restaurants, right?
Well, I will say, what is that place in Las Vegas where they're so mean to you and like, it, what is it called?
Dick's Last Resort.
Yeah, I mean,
they have them in Dallas too.
Do they? Uh-huh. Well, I feel like I remember going there and I was like, okay, this whole gimmicky thing, I'm not sure. But I thought the food was really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like gourmet food by any means, but I think it was like really good.
Yeah.
Vegas has good food though everywhere. Last thought on Dallas.
Yeah.
Brandy on sleeping pills.
Oh, the best.
Well, I took my sleeping pill.
Oh, you
Are
did?
You no, you did not. Oh, this is gonna be fun. Now I can mess with you with your sleeping pill. Now this is gonna be fun. Sit on down, Brandy. We have a lot to ask you.
No way. I'm the same height as her.
I love her.
I want everyone in my life to be on sleeping pills at least once in front of me.
Right, just like, you know, before you go to bed, just like take it a little earlier. She's just like slurring her words. She can't really remember everything, but she kind of like, she always made it to her points. You know, it took her a few minutes to get there, but she always came right back.
Nice.
Appreciate it. Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What's your rose?
From Below Deck, Riley came in hot, right? Like her first episode, she's already getting into it with people. But my rose is that she and the chef, I feel like both got it together and apologized.
Mm-hmm.
Like he gave more of an apology, but she was gracious in accepting it.
Yeah.
I'm upset about how last night went down because it got too heated and I didn't want to back down, you know, and we just went, and I'm really sorry for that.
I appreciate you apologizing. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, we saw Riley do that a couple times last season, too. I think she does.
Raging regret.
Yeah, she switches and she gets really mad and then she takes a moment and apologizes. And, you know, in these kind of work environments, that's what happens.
Right.
My rose is from Married to Medicine, and it was when the guys go to the strip club, spray painted on the wall behind them is the lyric, "Hold me closer, tiny dancer." And it reminds me of one of those really bad tattoos that people get in Chinese or Japanese or something. And they're like, it means strength. And then you find out that doesn't mean strength. It means like cow or something like completely opposite.
And you're just like, that's not what Elton John meant.
I was like, I really don't think that's what he was talking about in this moment. But I appreciate the thought behind like spray painting a lyric. Yeah. Maybe like a Nelly song would have been more appropriate. But... Hold Me Closer, Tiny Dancer. What was your thorn?
My thorn was from Real Housewives of New Jersey. The ladies are still in Jamaica, and some of them decide to go ride horses on the beach, mm-hmm. and they're actually in the water. Jennifer goes in and says that she swallowed some water. And I know the ocean is big, but I just feel like...
She swallowed some horse shit.
Yes!
I mean, yeah. She definitely did. That's all horses do. So if like you fall off the horse.
My eyes are watering just thinking about it because I'm like about to throw up.
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying. Conceptually, the ocean is gross. Like God only knows what you're swallowing when you're there, whatever. But like knowing that you fell off the horse you were riding on, you swallowed something you did not want to swallow.
Correct.
Sorry, Jennifer. We'll have to ask her about it.
Yeah. What was your thorn?
So my thorn is from Real Housewives of New Jersey, and it's this whole situation between Dolores and Jackie, and I just want them to get along. And Dolores kind of being like, well, she was raised so differently than us. Like, she doesn't understand us.
She is so worked up. I literally woke up this morning like, whatever.
I feel like for whatever reason, she doesn't like Jackie, and she can't really put her finger on why, because she kind of is like skirting around all of these things. But you guys heard Jackie's interview last week. I think that they're in a much better place now than they were at this point, but I like them both and I just want them to get along. Next week, we have Jennifer Aiden from Real Housewives of New Jersey.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.